this is something that I think is a word not only to the house, but to the body of Christ. And of course, I always say this, but I wish I had a larger platform to share this on. But, it'll be heard. It will be heard. Kathy was telling me on the way over how sometimes I'll preach a message and then her friend in North Carolina or in Texas will say our pastor preached along that same line. And later on, you'll hear it on the radio or on TV. So God's got his way of putting the same word out. But I was very thankful. Again, Jonah's a book that's been preached up and down and sideways and forwards and backwards, every way you can go. But the Holy Spirit, it never lets it exhaust or be exhausted. So let me show you something that the Lord showed me today. Now, you know the story. I'm not going to read it all. But God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell that wicked city, I'm going to burn your city down if you don't settle down, repent, and turn yourself back to me. But like many prophets today that we hear of, and some are very reputable, some are not, but just like some of them, the Bible says, I think, as you read this, I think, for whatever that's worth, that Jonah didn't want to take a harsh word to them. He did not want to go out there and say, if you don't repent, you wicked city, God's going to burn your town down. He wanted it soft and sweet, and that's what we get on a lot of these TV preachers today, and I love a lot of them. I'm ministered to by TV ministers. I love them. I'm thankful for the Christian TV channels that I have. But on the other hand, there's some that just give us that pillow preaching, pillow prophet, that just going to rest our elbows on the pillow so we can be comfortable and we can be comfortable and everything will be beautiful. And I think maybe that's what Jonah was, because Jonah, the Bible says, look at verse 3. God had told him what to do. In fact, he said, Jonah, in verse 2, you cry out against that wicked city. It's come up before me, but look at verse 3. And Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. From, somebody say from. Who could do that? From the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. That means beautiful. Joppa means beautiful. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. Don't forget that. Put that in your memory bank. He paid the fare. And he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord. What a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to go. But it says he paid the fare and he went. Let me tell you, when you run from the presence of the Lord, oh, you will pay the fare. There will be a fare to pay, and it's not very joyous at all. That's why you meet a lot of people out there going through a lot of stuff, friends, family, foe, because they ran from the presence of the Lord, really don't want any part of it for whatever cause. And they'll pay the fare, or they're paying the fare. Like, what? Why wouldn't Jonah? Jonah knew God. He knew who he was. I'll prove that to you in a minute. But he still ran. He did not want to take that heavy-duty word. Okay, so the wind came up. So look down to verse 6. Now the ship is in big trouble. It's being tossed here and there, and the waves are just turbulent, and it's just doing everything. And verse 6 says, look at this, look. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? I think the old King James says, oh, what do you mean, O sleeper? Arise and call on your God, and perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. See, they knew, he knew his God. They said, your God. Now, What do you mean, old sleeper? How come you're back here sleeping? Well, I didn't read verse 5. Let me read verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out. Look, here's what I want you to see. They cried out to their God, to his God, a little g. They had all kinds of little gods they worshipped. Verse 5. So the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But what did Jonah do? I mean, at least these guys were working. Their God couldn't do anything, but at least they were trying to help themselves out. But old Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he laid down, and he was fast asleep. He just went down to the lowest part he could go to get away from it all. He didn't want them mariners talking to him about anything. I just want to sleep. He was very sleepy, without a doubt. He was tired and he was worn out, and I'm just going to sleep if I can. Go down to verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled. They knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. He told them that. Well, then he said, "Well, just pick me up and throw me in the sea." And verse 15 says, "So they picked him up and threw him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging." It just calmed down when the man of God hit the waves. Now, look at chapter 2, verse 1. You follow me, Gabby? Just go along with me here. Such a big story. We could do it all, but let's just look at chapter 2, verse 1. And then Jonah did what? Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Now, you know what? We don't have to get in the fish's belly. How many times have I told you the best way to beat the devil is don't get in the ring with him? Just don't go into his territory and join his company. Just stay away from it. The Bible says when Jesus was going to the cross that Peter was out there. You know what Peter was doing while the other disciples were back here? The Bible says Peter was warming himself at the enemy's fire. That's what he was doing. The enemies all around, all the ones that hated Jesus and was going to send him to the cross, and Peter knew it, warming himself at their fire. And there was a little girl standing there, and she says, "He's one of them." And he said, "No, I'm not." You know the story. And she said, "Oh, no, you're a Galilean. I've heard your accent. You are one of them." "No, I'm not." She says it again. "Did you hear that accent? He is a follower of him, and he's one of those disciples." And he cursed out and said, "I am not." If you hang with the wrong people, remember what the Bible says? Evil men or evil things will corrupt good manners. Now, he got corrupted by hanging with the wrong people. I'm constantly putting that into the minds of my grandchildren. I always put it in the minds of my girls. Don't hang with the wrong ones. But he's over here warming himself. Jesus had told him just a few days ago. Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to die in a few days." Peter said, "Oh, no, I won't let you. I won't let you." And Jesus said, "Peter," he said, "before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. You will have, by the time the rooster crows the third time, you will have denied me three times." And sure enough, when Peter heard that rooster crow, he took off running. He just lost it. And his eyes, the Bible says his eyes met the eyes of Jesus. And he looked at Jesus' broken heart, and he could see his broken heart in his eyes. Read it. We'll see it. But here Jonah is sleeping at a time that he should be awake. And I'm going to tell you, church, we're in turbulent times in America, don't you think? I mean, we're in perilous times, dangerous times, turbulent times. The society's all messed up. Families are just torn apart. Families are going this way and that way, and they're scattered. The families that used to be so tight-knit, they're just thrown all over the place. Now, this is a time where we ought to really be praying, and we should be awake, not sleeping. Well, I say with all of you, I'm tired. You're tired. I mean, if nothing else, this world makes us tired just watching the news. We go about our daily work. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to say. There's a lot to think about. And we get tired. We get weary. Jesus got weary. He sat down at the well. So I'm not holding anything against Jonah except being at the enemy's camp. He was with the wrong people at the wrong time. He's not supposed to go to Tarshish. He's not even supposed to be on that boat with all those men, with all those gods. He's supposed to be on this boat going to Tarshish delivering a word. At one point he says, God, I knew you. I knew if I went and told them you're going to burn their city down, they would repent and then you would save them all. In other words, it would make me look bad. And what did God do? He saved them all because they repented. And Jonah said, I knew you would do it. I knew that you were going to do that. I just didn't even want to fool with it because it was going to embarrass him. The good thing about the word of the Lord, we don't even have to worry about it. Say, well, I pray for them, but God may not heal them. That's not any of our business. And if God does heal them and gives them a major miracle, that's none of our business either. That's nothing to write home about. We want to shout it from the housetops. Better be from what God did, not what we did, because it has nothing to do with us or anyone else, just him. Well, finally, these men realized that Jonah's God, they thought, was so powerful that Jonah was back there sleeping, and when they found out that he had disobeyed God, they panicked. I mean, they literally panicked, and they said, well, what are we going to do with you? He said, just throw me over in the water, and they did it. Chapter 2, verse 1, and then Jonah prayed to God, prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he cried out to the Lord. He said, he cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol or hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. And you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and your flood surrounded me, and your billows and your waves went over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. But look at this. But I will look again toward your holy temple. How's he going to do that? He's in the belly of a whale or a fish, some kind of a big fish. How's he going to know which way the temple is? He's just going to pray. He said, I'll look again. I will look again toward your temple. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Church, here's what I want to say tonight. I believe that God is sending out this call saying, what do you mean? Oh, man of God, oh, woman of God, oh, parent, oh, grandma, oh, grandpa, oh, friend, oh, uncle, oh, aunt. What do you mean, oh, sleeper? What do you mean, sleeping? At a time like this, you know, the world says, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it's not. If we will pray, but we're really in a bad time right now. We cannot afford to lay down asleep in our tiredness and in our weariness. You get so tired praying maybe over your loved ones that are this way or that way or the church. You know, we've been waiting so long to see the glory of the Lord come in. And every now and then I just have to stop and say, Lord, I still believe. I believe you, Lord, with every ounce of fiber that's in me, any ounce of faith I might have, that you're yet coming into this earth like the waters cover the sea. Amen? Oh, yeah, the church, we know the church is turbulent to the families, and we don't even have to talk about the world. But nothing, you know, if you hear what people are saying. Nothing makes sense anymore. That's why we pulled out a few kids and have them out of the school. Nothing makes sense in the school. The silly things. The parents don't have rule over their children. I think it's time for us to pray. I'm like, you got parents, you got kids in school. How can we hardly sleep? Why would we get sleepy and not pray at a time like this? Man, it's time to pray. They're doing surgeries on little kids, cutting them and transforming their little bodies without telling the parents. And a few years ago, you couldn't even give them an aspirin at school. You probably still can't do that without parental approval. But now they can do these kinds of things. Church, it's time to pray. I mean, I've got those grandbabies in school. I, even though it's that school, they still go to dance. They still go to baseball. They still go to sport. And I pray, God, about their friends. Come on. And you get tired, but we got to pray, church. Oh, sleeper, it's not time to sleep. Our children are grown up. No, it's not time to sleep. The church, oh, no, I'm here, and I hear things, and I know that this is happening and that's happening, and people don't seem to live their lives with any kind of spiritual stability or holiness that says, no, that's not permissible for me. It's like everything goes. But the thing is, everything don't go. But we're hearing such a sweet message of grace taught today. And you and I live by grace. We were saved by grace. So we're going to live by grace the rest of our lives until Jesus comes. And the Bible told us to go, Hebrews 4:16 told us to go to the throne of grace. Oh, it's a throne of grace that we might obtain mercy to help us and find grace in time of need. And that grace, listen, it's not always easy to pray that thing through. You got financial problems? It's not time to tell sister so-and-so to pray for that. It's time for you, old sleeper, to wake up and pray your finances through. It's time for us to wake up, old sleeper, and pray that through. If something's wrong, then pray it through. If your marriage has got an issue, then wake up and pray. You say, I'm praying. Don't go to sleep. Keep praying, keep praying. People don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. I've never seen a time where, I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. You know, that used to be, it was total legalism that I was raised in. But now they've gone from this line over there too far into legalism, and this place over here too far into grace, and everything works. Liberalism. I can just do anything I want. And so, church, it's just time to pray. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is looking at us. He's looking at his church, the body of Christ all over the world. And he said, how can you sleep at a time like this? He said that to his disciples. He said, you guys, I am on my way to die on that cross, and you have no idea how big that is. I'm going to save you from your sins one day, but they are going to cut me up. They are going to beat me almost to death. But he didn't die until it was time for him to die. And he said, oh, sleeper. He didn't call him that. But he said, can't you stay awake with me for just 1 hour? I love our church, but look at the empty seats. This is not uncommon. This is the same in every church. Every church. You talk to pastor friends of yours. You ask them how many people they have at their prayer meeting. They'll tell you not many. But you know what? I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad I'm not cutting anybody back. I love our whole church. But there's too many people sleeping. And there's a lot of times I sleep. I'm sure when the Holy Spirit is saying, girl, how could you sleep at a time like this? You know what I'm saying? Every one of us. And I hear the Holy Spirit calling on his church. You better get up because it's a slumbering church. And we serve a God who, the Bible says, he never slumbers and he never sleeps. Now, I'm not talking about 8 hours at night. We need that 8 or 10 or whatever you sleep. But I'm just talking, we can't sleep it away when the world is in trouble, the church is in trouble, the kids are in trouble, the schools are in trouble, the world. You know, you heard Elon Musk saying the other night, if we don't do something here, they're burning things down. The hatred. He said, I never thought I'd see such hatred for one man as Donald Trump. When you're sending these evil murderers and rapists out of the country, and a simple little town judge, local judge, makes them come back, how can he take preeminence over the president? See, this whole thing is all whacked out. How can we sleep at a time like this? How can we? And one thing Elon Musk said, he said this, the people that are burning down Tesla used to love my electric cars for the Green New Deal. They love Tesla. But now because I'm helping Trump, they hate me. They hate the cars. So he said they're burning the cars down, shooting guns or shooting bullets into Tesla dealerships and setting the cars on fire. Why? Hatred. He said, they must be bad people because bad people do bad things. And that was the hardest thing he said, is bad people do bad things. Calling good evil, evil good. Bittersweet and sweet bitter. It's a crazy time, church. I'm just telling you one more time. I hear the Holy Spirit telling you and me, it's time to pray. And we can start with just us. It's okay. I mean, if there were just two of us here, it'd be all right. I mean, we'd rather have more like we have tonight. But you know what? It's time to pray. I don't want us to be a slumbering church. All right. So finally he said, so I prayed, but he did pray from the belly of the whale. Now, it's better to have the thing prayed up, have yourself prayed up. And then when you get in a storm like Jonah was in, you don't have to get in the belly of the whale. You know, you don't have to sink so far down into it. It's still bad and it still hurts and you're still going through a storm, but you'll make it all right because you're prayed up. So he said, my soul fainted within me. And you don't have to faint, but stay prayed up. You say, how much time do I need to pray? I can't tell you that. You know how much time you are. You pray. It's not so much in the time, maybe, it's the quality. But make sure you have quality time with God. Talk to him about the situation. You say, well, I talked to him once. Should I talk to him again? Yes, over and over and over. Go back. If you say the same thing over and over and over, say it. He said, that woman wearied that judge. She wore him out. He said, ask, you'll be given. Seek, keep looking for the answer, and you'll find it. And then he said, knock. Just keep on. It's okay. Just keep on knocking. He says, well, when my soul fainted, guess what I did in verse 7? I'll read it again. My soul fainted in me. What did he do? He said, oh, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you. That's what happened. Okay. So in verse 10, his prayer was answered. It says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out into dry ground. Wouldn't that be something? You've been praying about this thing that's the storm in your life right now, and you kept praying and praying and praying, praying, didn't see any daylight. And then all of a sudden, here came this two-letter word. So, the Lord caused this thing to be vomited out. And the thing was thrown out. Satan had to let it go. And then peace, total peace came. Okay, one more verse. One more verse in Romans 13:11. Go to the New Testament. Oh, there's a few places we could go. We could go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians. That we're just going to go to Romans, and I think we'll stop because I want us to have time to talk to the Lord. Romans 13:11. Look at this. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. That means a drowsiness. Just, I'm tired, I'm worn. You're not really, you know, sleeping per se, But it's time to wake out of that lethargic, lazy condition. High time to wake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. What night? The night of darkness. He said, man, you're 2,000 years down the road now in the New Testament. 4,000 years from Adam. You're way down the road from all those prophets. But now we're over 2,000 years past Jesus being resurrected from the dead. So he said, there's been a lot of darkness. The night is far spent. It's almost over. And the day is at hand, my coming. That's a daytime. That's a daytime. I mean, that's the horizon. He's getting ready to come. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light through prayer. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, I'm not talking, this could be any kind of lust, from sexual lust, but here, since he's talking about being lethargic and sleepy and weary and lazy, I believe he's saying, now, don't let your flesh, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, to sleep. Just wants to lay down and rest all the time. Remember that commercial on TV? One of the best ones that says, a body at rest stays at rest. But a body in motion stays in motion. That's why we've got to keep moving forward. God told Moses, he says, Moses, tell those people of Israel to get up and move forward. They've gone around this mountain long enough. And that's what I hear him saying, church. We've gone around this mountain long enough. High time to wake out of sleep, because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Glory to God. Father, help us to fulfill your vision for us. Everything that you said, everything that you appointed us to in this life. Every one of us in your kingdom have been appointed, Lord, to a specific cause. We are here on earth at this hour because you have sent us here. Every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause us all in the body of Christ. I pray for our brothers and sisters down the street at Port Naz. I pray for those downtown on 2nd Street, Lord, with Pastor Sonia there at Believers. I pray, Lord, for the old Glad Tidings Church. Lord, for all of us together who are seeking your face, let us wake out of sleep, for the time is close. The day is at hand. And, Lord, we are the ones that can change everything. And we are starting to see change. But I believe you're calling your intercessors to awake and to do more in your kingdom. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everyone that loves him, say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.